Right after I'm done tonight, the teenagers need to meet and practice at the piano. All right, so right after I'm
done, the teenagers need to meet at the piano for a music practice. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we'll start. We've been going through a series that I have from Evangelist Tom Palmer, and we're using this tonight in a very important topic. I had a hard time deciding what night to do this one because this is so important. There isn't one person that doesn't need to know this topic tonight. And making a wise decision. Now, it could be that some in here have never made a wise decision, but the point is that all of us are supposed to make wise decisions. I'm just kidding about that. Everybody in here, I think, has gotten saved, and so that was a wise decision. And hopefully you've made a few since then. But everyone in here has to make wise decisions, and we'll need to be making wise decisions. And Haley, I want you to sit still so your dad can listen, all right? And listen as well. We're going to be talking about this tonight in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And that's what we're talking about tonight, is making a wise decision and understanding God's will. The will of God is God's choice in every decision I have to make. And let me say that again. The will of God is God's choice in every decision I have to make. When you make a choice, you need to find out if that's God's choice. And I mean everything. I don't think it's wrong to stand in the clothing aisle and ask God to help you decide, should you buy it, and which one should you buy? And on we could go. But making a wise decision, and I know everybody in here either already needed to make a wise decision and had to, or you're going to this year, you're going to need to make a wise, crucial decision. So let's go through this together, and let's talk about this as we go through these points tonight. Number one, make a personal commitment. Make a personal commitment to know and do God's will. God's will is not just a moral will, it's a specific will. In other words, let me say it this way. I don't just hope that Joshua finds a good girl to marry. I want Joshua to find the right girl to marry, the one that God has for him. You might look at him and say, there's nobody. There's just no way. But in spite of all that, I think God does have someone. I'm having a hard time thinking what it's going to, you know, who's it going to, but anyway, never mind. But I know that God has a perfect will for our lives. I'm just kidding. God has a perfect will for our lives, okay? We shouldn't settle for just, well, that looks good. You know, that'll pass. We need to be careful that we don't just strive for the moral, what's okay, you know, what flies, but the exact, all right? So in other words, make a personal commitment to know and do God's will. Let me ask you this. What is the, outside of getting saved, what is probably the most important decision in your life? Marriage, all right? I agree with that. Can you think of a different one? Someone's already taken marriage, so continue, all right? Anybody else? What's a very important decision besides marriage and salvation? Can you think of another one? House? Where to live? Yeah. Those are all good. Job? I mean, I agree with all those, except, honestly, I don't think that's true. I think those are all wrong. I think the most important decision that you need to make is that you're going to find God's will and do it. That you're going to do whatever God wants you to do. In other words, that should be your most important, that you, I'm going to do whatever God says I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to do it, all right? And when you do that, then you'll find all those other things that you guys said, all right? And continue is a lot along those lines, is that we find what God's will is and just do it. I don't want to talk about politics tonight because I don't want to emphasize it. And let me just say it this way. My message tonight has nothing to do with what our country is going through right now. because it doesn't matter what our country is going through right now. This is what we're supposed to be doing. All right? Continue. Continue. Perilous times shall come. Jeff said it. Continue. You know, perilous times shall... Pastor, what are we going to do now? Same thing we did last year. Yeah, but what if they make it harder for us? Well, I don't know who they is, but if somebody makes it harder for us, it's going to be the devil. And he's been making things hard for a long time. And we're just going to keep continuing. I know that God's bigger than the devil. So make a personal commitment to know it and to do it. Our pastor in our church where we went to college years ago used to say, find God's will and do it. Find it and do it. Now, part of the problem is we don't want to know it because we don't want to do it. We know we're not going to like it, or we think we're not going to like it. That's not true. But make a personal commitment to know God's will and to do it. Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. You need to decide right now that you will delight in whatever God's will is. Ken Davis said, yeah, but I was so afraid that God was going to give me a bratwurst for a girlfriend, you know. That's a mental picture, isn't it? Do you really think someone who's wanting to know God's will is going to end up with a very unhappy situation? No. And so find God's will. And Psalm 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. So number one, it's not so much trying to find the right one to marry, trying to find the right job, trying to find just the right place to live. The real decision is, I'm going to delight to do his will. I'm just going to do whatever. And so Matthew 6:10, Jesus prayed and told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's how we need to pray. We need to think and have that mental understanding that it is whatever God leads us to do. Would you probably would agree, and I'm sure you would believe it, that a lot of pastors, and not just pastors, but a lot of pastors, all of a sudden announce, it's God's will for me to go here. But really, I think a lot of times, it's just easier. It's just more comfortable, all right? And it's not just pastors, it's everybody. And we like to tag onto it, well, I just, you know, we've got the green light. And don't get me wrong, sometimes God does call people. But I'm convinced that one of America's major problems is that we don't really have a lot of faithful Christians. Faithful. When I was in Wyoming, my dad was a pastor there in Gillette for 5 years. 5 years was the longest that church had had a pastor for 20 years. The founding pastor was there for 5 years. Then he left. Then another pastor came. Then he left. Then they had 13 pastors in 11 years. And he was there for five. When he got there, they were majorly in debt. And he was able to see them out of that debt. And so now that church was able to add on their building and doing much better that way. But I noticed in Wyoming in that time, there was hardly anyone that had stayed a long time in one place. The faithfulness. And I believe a lot of times is we don't like God's will when it gets uncomfortable. But let me just tell you, if you'll read the Word of God, you'll find that a lot of people didn't always have it comfortable. I mean, Jesus was not comfortable when he was, you know, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will but thine be done. And there's this idea that God's supposed to always make it, that is so silly. James 4:15 says we need to be praying this way. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills. If that's what God's, Lord willing, that's what we'll do. All right? And so I'm committed to doing God's will. Yielding our will to God's will. I think that's the biggest decision. The biggest decision is not who you marry as much as it is yielding to whatever God wants. Now, I don't think anybody in here has got this problem, but if you happen to be really good looking, you might have a hard time deciding who you're going to marry because there's so many, you know, there's so many girls lined up, you know what I mean? But, boys, never mind. Nobody in here has that problem, all right? But, and girls, vice versa, you know? But a guy or a girl had better be sold out to serve the Lord. I think that'll thin out the herd real quick, because you are determined to serve God with your life and to do whatever He'd have you do. You're yielded to God's will. We sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way," but I think what we mean is, "Have Mine Own Way, Lord, Have Mine Own Way." Let God fill in the blanks. Fill in the plans for your life. Stop telling Him what it is you want and let Him fill it in. And you know what it says in Psalm 37? Delight thyself in the Lord and He'll give you what? Bob knows the answer. The desires of thine heart. I'll just tell you a little quick story about me. I really wanted to live in Wyoming because I grew up there. And by the way, elk licenses are a whole lot cheaper over there and easier to get. I really like the idea of being in Wyoming and being a Wyoming cowboy or whatever. And when I went off to college, I had this dream. I like that name, Mountain View. I like the story of Caleb. You know, I even named my oldest son Caleb because I like the story of, you know, I want that mountain and the mountain view. So we moved to Newcastle, and I put the name on the front of this building that was empty and called it Mountain View Baptist Church. People would say, "What mountain? There's no mountain in Newcastle to look at, you know." Well, I'm not talking about some mountain in the area. I'm talking about having a mountain view, you know, Christianity and spiritual vision or whatever. Anyhow, so, and I mean, I wanted all that. It went for 9 years, but it never really happened. And it was just crushing. And it was heartbreaking. And so we moved over here to Custer. You know what happened after a few years? This church decided to change their name, and when they voted on it, they voted on Mountain View Baptist Church. And be honest with you, I was kind of sick of the name by then because I was so discouraged with it. But it made sense. And there's even mountains outside the front door. But on top of that, it's an answer to prayer. It's a delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of thine heart. As far as the elk, well, that'll come. But decide to let God fill in the plans of your life. You know what? He'll do it later. He'll give you the desires of your heart in His time, not yours. He'll reward you with those dreams. Do you remember the story of Joseph? He had dreams, right? And like a decade and a half later, God answered those dreams. God fulfilled them. But not as instantly as Joseph thought. And Joseph learned to let God be in charge. And what Joseph found out is that God's will was for him to have a very lousy situation for a long time, only to turn around and help him save the world and give him the desires of his heart. So, number one, make a personal commitment to know and to do God's will. I think Joseph figured out, you know what? I can see God's will in what he's doing. This is so bizarre. My life's so bizarre that God's doing something here. Number two, always keep God in first place in your life. Always keep God first. If you think that marriage is number one, and I know everybody mentioned marriage as being a big decision, but if you think that she or he is first place, Miss Hannah has a guy who is a friend. They've officially announced themselves as boyfriend, girlfriend. Oh, it's getting serious. She better not put him first, and he better not put her first. Always keep God first place in your life. God has to be number one. Proverbs 3:6. The first half of that verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That's your job. The first half of the verse is my job. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. The second half of the verse is, and He will direct thy paths. That's God's job. Your job is in all your ways to acknowledge Him, and His job is to direct your paths. So let me ask you a question. Do you acknowledge Him in all your ways? Every decision, everything you do. Purchases that we talk about. I was talking to my family about a purchase, talking to my wife, and, well, pray about it. And the Lord just kind of showed me, no, it's not supposed to happen. But you know what? I acknowledged Him and asked Him for advice, asked Him for His wisdom on it. And He gave me the red light instead of the green light. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And then His job is to direct your paths. So we can't blame him when it doesn't go right, when we didn't acknowledge him in the beginning all the way. Romans chapter 14, verse 9, talks about making him Lord. Lord, Romans 14, 9. He needs to be Lord of our life. He needs to be Lord of everything, number one. And in Colossians 1, 18, the Bible tells us that he is to have the preeminence. Preeminence means that he is number one. He is the priority. Always keep God in first place in your life. So if you're going to make a wise decision, you've got to make sure God's number one. Otherwise, you're not going to make a wise decision. You've already messed up. You've already gotten yourself out of order. Number three, live according to the known will of God, the revealed, what's already revealed, what's already the no-brainer stuff, the already understood. Live according to the known will or the revealed will of God. In other words, doing what you already know you're supposed to do. Is it God's will to obey your parents? Then are you obeying your parents? Guess what? You're not going to make a wise decision if you can't obey your parents. In fact, that's the reason why most kids end up in a mess, because they don't obey their parents. But my parents don't know everything. Join the club. Nobody's parents knows everything. But God said, obey your parents. Is it God's will to go to church? I think a lot of times people miss what they're supposed to hear and what they're supposed to learn because they just decided not to go to church that night. There's a lot of things. Is it God's will to tithe? It is. It's God's will that we give and we do what God has given us the responsibility to do. And when we don't do those things, we're not going to be able to make a wise decision. But living with the known will and doing it, there's a great verse in Genesis 24, verse 27. It's the story of the servant that Abraham sent out to find a wife for Isaac. And the servant prayed and said, Lord, I don't have a clue how to find a wife for my master's son. How do I do that? You know, how do I go out and shop for a wife for somebody? And so the servant did a very wise thing. He prayed and said, God, I need help. I need you to give me some clues. How do I pick out a wife for my master? And you know what he said in verse 27? He said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I love that phrase. I was in the right way. I was where I was supposed to be. You know how you're going to find the right one? Being where you're supposed to be. That's where you're going to find. In the last 2 months, we have seen a crazy amount of visitors coming to church. You don't have to, this church is too small. I'll never find the right one here. I got to go somewhere else. Are you kidding? God's bigger than that. God doesn't need a great big huge metropolis to help you find the right one. You know, trust the Lord and do what's right. Let him direct your path. And so just do what you know you're supposed to do. There's so many things that would fix themselves if we'd all just do what we're supposed to do. And let God do the rest. And so when it comes to this stressful world that we seem to be living in, I don't feel the stress really. But when we, and by the way, it's because I don't watch TV, all right? I'd encourage you to not do that. Good evening. Tonight is 6 o'clock, and we're here to tell you what to think. That's what's going on. Listen, just do what you're supposed to do. But Pastor, there's this going on, and this is going on, and this is going on. And you know what I'm going to do? What I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to keep continuing. Yeah, but you don't know. I'm just going to keep continuing. See, the one who gave me this manual is in charge of making sure I'm able to continue it. So I'm just going to keep continuing. Just keep trusting. All right? So live according to the known will of God. I'm not going to stop giving. As a matter of fact, you heard me say it on Sunday. Government wants to give out free money? Put it in missions. I'm not saying you have to. That's what I decided to do, and Wilma agreed. And that's what we did. Why? Because I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I just believe that's what I should do, so I did it. Just do what you're supposed to do, and let God take care of the rest. And you know what? The reason why I could do that is because God's already blessed, and I didn't have to keep it. I'm not saying I got lots of money in the bank, but I was able to handle that. Live according to the known will of God. Number four, spend much time in the TV. No, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Spend much time in prayer before making any decision. Spend much time in prayer before making any decision. Acknowledge your dependence upon God. You know what God loves? He loves for us to admit that we need him. That we need him. I love it when a little child tries to carry a gallon of milk inside the house, you know, or something. I love to let them have the challenge, or get them behind a steering wheel of a car, and, you know, let them see if they can drive on the dirt road a little ways and until they finally, but what I really love is when they finally say, I need help, I can't do it. Because then they finally surrendered and yielded over the steering wheel. Y'all ever hear that saying or see the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot? Have you ever seen that or heard that? That's really dumb. Because if God's your co-pilot, who are you saying is the pilot? Isn't that dumb? Shouldn't we say, God is my pilot? God, you take the wheel, right? You need to be the one driving, not me. I'd rather you be the pilot. Spend much time in prayer before making any decision. Acknowledge your dependence upon God. Let God know how much you need him. I love that song, Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm and when the winds are blowing strong, I need you. Psalm 143, verse 8 and verse 10. Psalm 143, verse 8. Psalm 143 and verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. We need to pray, Lord, I don't know. I don't know the way. Show me the way. That's a great prayer. Show me the way. Help me to see the way. Colossians chapter 1, 9. Is a prayer. This verse is literally a prayer that we can pray for others and for ourselves. Colossians 1:9. Paul says, I'm praying for you people in Colossae. And he says in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You can pray for your children and for yourself and for your spouse to be filled with wisdom and knowledge. And then James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. If you ask wisdom, ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you if you're sincere. So spend much time in prayer before making any decision. Ask for his guidance. And then number five, follow God's guideposts. Follow God's guideposts. By the way, I got a feeling that's probably at least somebody in here, one person here, that's already glad you came to church tonight. Maybe you're kind of feeling like you shouldn't come, but you decided to come. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Let me ask you this. Would you rather be here or in the nicest, most comfortable hospital that you know? No, I think you'd rather be here. And coming to church and listening to the Word of God and being encouraged and seeing other people who came to church and sang the songs and prayed with you, what a blessing. Now, follow God's guideposts. God's guideposts. Guidepost number one, God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I need headlights that shine way out ahead of me because I can go faster when I have those. But I also need lights that are able to be, you know, the fog lights that can just light the next step. I need both. I need the lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I kind of know the path I'm supposed to be on. I got that kind of figured out for a while. But that doesn't mean I know every day or every step. I need the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. Sometimes we just think about the path. We forget every step of the way. I need every step of the way. His word. I hope you've been reading your Bible this week, the first week of January. I hope you've been trying to read every day and hopefully keeping a schedule. God's word is the number one guidepost. Here's something you can bank on. You can bank on this. God will never tell you something that is against the Bible. So the more you know the Bible, the more you'll know what he doesn't want you to do. The more you'll know what is right and what is wrong. There was one time I was about to get married, and I was trying to figure out, you know, a honeymoon and plans. And I got this advertisement in the mail. Young college guy. I had just applied for some credit cards, and probably that's why they were sending me stuff. And they sent me some advertisement for some, you know, vacation spot or whatever, and it had this fancy, you know, white beach and palm tree, but there was this woman in a bikini laying out there, and it was an advertisement for some. And the thought hit me, if this was really what God wanted me to see, he wouldn't have sent it like this. If this is the place God wants me to go, he wouldn't have gave me this kind of an advertisement. So I tossed it in the garbage. That's a silly illustration, but I hope you understand the point. If God's got some stuff in his word that speaks against certain things, then you can avoid a lot of traps by knowing what the Bible says. When Joseph was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, he knew it was wrong. He didn't say, well, you know, you don't really seem very happily married, so I guess this might be okay. He said, I can't do this because if I do this, I'll sin against God. And the more you know the Bible, the more you will stay away from wrong and dumb decisions. Guidepost number one is God's word. Guidepost number two is godly counsel. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Everybody's probably there but me. I think I can quote it, but I won't quote it right. So Proverbs 15, 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Notice the first word is godly counsel. Don't just listen to counsel. Find godly counsel. Find someone who's godly and ask them about it. People who only want God's best for you. People who are interested in God's best for everything. Ask them. But you know what? A lot of times we don't ask them because we know what they'll say. So we ask someone who will give it to us the way we want to hear it. Find godly counsel. A pastor, your parent, a friend, a godly friend. Find counsel. And when you don't find counsel, you're going to probably end up going the wrong direction. Because if you're finding godly counsel, they'll probably bring up a Bible verse you might have forgot about and give you a pointer you might have not thought about. God's word, God's counsel, godly counsel, and third, circumstances. God directed circumstances. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Now there's wrong circumstances. I just told you about this thing I got in the mail one time, and of course I'm thinking, "Oh, is this a sign? Am I supposed to use this?" No, it's not. Circumstances. The circumstances that are ordained by God. You know, God ordains circumstances. God allows things to happen for a reason. And there's sometimes things that go up, that show up in our life, and God's doing it on purpose. This guy that is a friend that likes Hannah, and unfortunately Hannah likes him. I think they met at school, but I think mainly they kind of got to know each other because of a wedding where they both were involved in the same wedding. God brings people together. I like the illustration of the center fielder and the left fielder. They're both playing their position. And the ball, pop fly, way out deep in between the two sections. Center fielder's running, left fielder's running, and they're both got their eye on the ball, and boom, they run into each other. Where'd you come from? You know, that's kind of how it is when you meet the right one. You both have your eye on God's will, and you run into each other. All right? There's many stories of missionaries that met on the mission field and got married that way. The circumstances. Notice how this is number three. The circumstances are not the number one deciding factor. But when you're following the word of God And you're also listening to good, godly counsel, and that's why he gives us pastors and teachers and parents. And then circumstances, okay? Years ago, there was, back in the old days when there was a lot more lantern light piloting and navigation at night, I don't remember if it was one of the lakes around Michigan, Lake Erie or somewhere there, but there was a ship trying to get safely into harbor, some kind of a passenger boat, ferry or whatever. And it was nighttime, and someone asked the pilot, "How do you get just at, especially at night? I mean, how do you, there's no GPS back then? How do you just line up perfectly? I mean, it's dark, it's foggy. How do you?" And he said, "There are three lights on the shore, and if I can get those three lights to be lined up in a perfect line, then I'm good. I'm good to go straight. And so I don't look at all the other mesmerizing lights that are out there. I just look for those three. And I just make sure those three are lined up. And when they're lined up, I know I can go straight in, even though I can't see what I'm doing." Here's three right here. God's word and godly counsel and then the circumstances. When those three line up, you have a pretty good indicator. And I would say if there's a fourth light, it's this one here, number six. Point number six, allow the Holy Spirit to confirm each decision with his peace. If there's a fourth guidepost, it's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You ever make a decision, but you're just not happy with it? You ever make a decision, but you just can't sleep? You're not at peace. In fact, you're going around trying to get someone to agree with, this is what I'm going to do, and then this is the reason why I'm going to do it, and here's all the good reasons why I should do it. And they're just kind of looking at you like, oh, okay. And you, that doesn't make you feel good, does it? And you're looking for someone to confirm, but there's no affirmation there. On the other hand, there are times when nobody around you thinks that what you're doing is a good thing, but you've got a peace in your heart, and you know it's right. And the Holy Spirit is there inside of us. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is our guide. And he's there to guide us into all truth. There's no reason, listen to me, there is no reason for a Christian to marry the wrong person. There's just no reason for it. Because the Holy Spirit is there to guide us and to lead us the right way. And when we grieve him, we're not right with him, we're not listening to him, we get ourselves in trouble. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Tom Palmer said it's kind of like the final rule or the final decision in a football game. You know, when everyone's waiting to see what the referee's going to do, you know, and he comes out after further review, you know. And then the play stands as called, touchdown or whatever it might be. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. And when the Holy Spirit says it's right or it's wrong, that's it. That's the peace. That's the confirmation that we have in our heart. Let me encourage you to follow these things as you make decisions this year. I promise you, all of us have got some decisions to make this year. Make wise decisions. We got some guys going back to college. Make wise decisions. Make wiser decisions. We got some young ladies and young guys in here. We got parents in here. We got grandparents in here. Make wise decisions. And God will bless you, and you'll be thankful for it. I'll tell you what, I am not a smart, rich guy, but I have been blessed by learning this here. I'm not saying I always do. Sometimes I may. One time I bought a dump truck. It was the dump truck. I called it the dump truck. But I bought a dump truck because I thought for sure I needed a dump truck because it would save money if I had this dump truck. The dump truck cost me more than it was worth. I finally traded it for a tractor. And the tractor was lousy, but at least the tractor did more than the dump truck did. It wasn't a good decision. All of us have been there. Make dumb decisions. We learn. Thankfully, we learn from our mistakes, hopefully. If we are willing to admit them, but make wise, wise decisions. One of the best decisions I ever made was when I asked this young lady who used to be an Amish girl to go on a date with me. That was a good decision. That was a good decision. And she kept putting me off, and I finally had to beg her to marry me, and she finally said, maybe. No, just kidding. Making a wise decision. I'll tell you what, there's so many things out there that we need God's wisdom on. We need to know. Do not be unwise, Ephesians 5:17. But understand what is the will of the Lord. And some people will say, oh, that's a no-brainer. You two are such a cute couple. That is perfect. Don't let the world tell you what the wise decision is. Do not do it. One time in Joshua chapter 9, these people came from a long ways off. And these people are going to be our servants forever. This is going to be great. It was a dumb decision. They weren't from a long ways off. They were lying. They were Gibeonites from just over the hill. And they became a real problem for those people the rest of their lives. Make wise decisions. Pray about it. Find God's will in the matter. Don't just go off of a no-brainer or what looks like an idea. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you. You do give us godly counsel, and you give us people in our lives to help us and give us wisdom. And we thank you most of all that you are there, that your guide, your comforter, your Holy Spirit is there within to prick us and prod us and remind us and show us and give us peace when that decision is right. And I pray that you'd help us to see those things that line up and to follow them and to always seek your will in every matter and every decision. I pray for the individuals in this room, because I know each one in this room have big decisions to make this year again. Help us to make wise ones. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.